Good morning. Glad you're able to join in hearing God's word today. You may know that before I started serving at our present church, I was serving at another church called Chinese for Christ in San Jose. And I started there in, let's see, the latter half of 1999. And when I first got there, the English ministry was rather small. It's probably about 10 to 15 people. And the previous pastor had left, I think, under not ideal circumstances. So pretty much the English ministry wasn't in the best shape. Most of the members on the English side were youth group, high school, middle school. There was a handful of young adults, and there were two ladies, older ladies, who essentially were from the Chinese congregation, but were volunteering or helping out in the English ministry when I first got there. At that point, in terms of our life stage, my wife and I, we had Christopher and Zachary at that point, and they were, let's see, 4 and 2 years old when we first started at our previous church. Soon after, in 2000, late 2000, my wife had our daughter, Catherine. Chantel was not even on the radar at that point, but I remember in those early days, in those early years at serving at CFC, 1999 to around 2003, after Chantel was born, those early years, they were crazy busy in terms of the workload that was on me. Essentially had to, Friday nights were young adult fellowship, and the young adult fellowship at that point was meeting at our home. So we would host 10, 15, sometimes more than that, but at least 10 people in our home. Oftentimes we would invite people for dinner before the fellowship or the Bible study. Then we'd have the Bible study, and usually I would lead at that point. I would be leading on Friday nights. People would often hang out at our house after the meeting had, quote-unquote, officially ended. And then again, we had two young boys, and it was hard, of course, almost nearly impossible for them to fall asleep or want to fall asleep because we had all these people at our home. Friday nights were followed by Saturday nights, which was the youth group, which I led. And that usually ran from 7 to 9 o'clock at the church. But like with most meetings, you do things before the meeting and you do things after. That's the unofficial meeting, you could say, after the official meeting. So that would be Saturday night. Then, of course, leading into Sunday morning. And at that point, I was pretty much preaching every Sunday morning at that stage of the church, my service at the church. In addition to preaching on a regular basis on Sunday morning, I would also be teaching Sunday school quite just as often as I would be preaching. So on most weeks, I would have to do 4 major activities in my mind. Young adult fellowship, Friday night. Youth fellowship, Saturday night. Sunday morning preaching, followed by Sunday school. That was the typical pattern during those early days or early years of my service at CFC. Maybe for some of you, when you think about the early days or the early years of being somewhere, maybe at work, maybe your involvement even at our present church, maybe you've been here for a while. Maybe when you think about your childhood, your teenage years, growing up somewhere, living somewhere else. For many of you, when you think about these early days, not only hopefully are there fond memories, but you realize how crazy, in a way, life was. So much activity, so many things going on. And yet, thinking back, when I think back of those early days serving at our previous church before, I'm just amazed at how gracious God was, because I have to admit, oftentimes I had no idea what I was doing. I was just doing things just because they needed to get done. And yet I look back and I see how gracious God was, in spite of my lack of wisdom, ignorance, stupidity. God was still very gracious to me and to the church. And maybe again, for you, when you think about your early days, whether it's at work, whether it's at school, in your marriage, in your involvement in a church, hopefully, as you look back at it, you can see how gracious God has been to you. This morning, we're going to be looking at the early days of the church, and not early days of this church, South Bay Chinese Gospel Church, or the church that I had previously served at, Chinese for Christ Church of San Jose, but the early days of the church capital C, or you could say the first, very first church, the church that started in Jerusalem. What was the early church like? And we're going to be looking at three characteristics of this early church. And perhaps, hopefully, these characteristics could also be used to describe our present church. Before we continue, though, let me open us in prayer. God, again, we thank you that your son, Jesus, is the head of the church. Lord, whether it's a church that we've been involved with a while ago, years ago, maybe decades ago, whether it's the church that we're presently involved with right now, whether it's church that we're going to be involved in the days to come, God, we thank you that all of these local churches are ultimately under the control, the headship of the chief shepherd, that is your son, Jesus Christ. God, the church is really built on the Christ Jesus and the apostles. And God, I pray that really has our church, Lord, grows not only in numbers, but also in spiritual vitality. Lord, that you would be glorified in and through us. God, we thank you. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you've been with us, I know that we recently, started a new message series looking at the early church in the book of Acts. And we're going to start off by looking at Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and 47. It's a somewhat, it's somewhat familiar verse, perhaps to some of you. Others of you, you may not have actually looked at this book or this chapter. But in this passage that we're going to be looking at this morning, we get a description of the characteristics of the early church. And in particular, we're going to see three C's that describe this church. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 42 to 47. And the first C that we're going to be talking about is we're going to be looking at the connection between the qualities or the characteristics of the believers in this church. The connection between the characteristics of the believers of the early church. So let me just read this passage. We'll just read the entire passage, verses 42 to 47. It says this, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved." So in these verses, verse 42 to 47, we see the connection between the characteristics of the believers. Notice in this passage the number of times the word "and" is used. If you look closely and you count the number of times the word "and" is used, maybe different depending on your translation, but in my translation, which is the ESV, there are 16 times in this passage, verses 42 to 47, in which the word "and" is used. 16 times in these 7 verses. So, what is that? At least 2.5 times each verse contains the word "and." But not only that, is the word "and" used frequently, consistently throughout the passage. But you notice that there are 6 times in which the word "and" begins or is the first word of a sentence. Look in verse 42. It says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching." Then verse 43. "And awe came upon every soul." Verse 44. "And all who believed were together." Verse 45. "And they were selling their possessions." Verse 46. "And day by day attending the temple together." And in the second half of verse 47, which is the start of a new sentence, "And the Lord added to their number day by day." So not only is the word "and" used 16 times in these passages, verses 42 to 47, but in 6 of those instances, the word "and" begins the sentence. Now, I don't know about you, but growing up, particularly in high school English class, one of my teachers, Mr. Wardlaw, who I remember quite distinctly, would not be very happy if I turned in a paper and I used the word "and," not just numerous times, but I use the word "and" to begin a sentence. He would mark up my paper, send it right back to me, and say, "Do it again. Think of another way to express what you're thinking." Now, I would say in general, this is probably not the best English, the best way to write a sentence. But yet, the scriptures, God speaking through Luke, the Holy Spirit speaking to Luke, directs him to write this paragraph, this number of verses, exactly how he wanted it. Yeah, from an English standpoint, from a writing standpoint, it's probably could be better. Hey, it could be worked on, right? You probably want to change it up a bit. But yet, I believe that in spite of the fact that maybe from an English literature standpoint, there may be some things that you'd want to change. I believe the purpose is to demonstrate to us the connection, or you could say the interconnectedness, between the activities and the actions and the attitudes of the early church. It's as if one part or one aspect, one attitude, one activity that the believers were engaged in were connected, joined together, part of the whole with another aspect. You couldn't separate them. You couldn't focus on one to the neglect of the other. They're all together, joined. I think sometimes in our present lives, in our current church settings and situations, particularly in our society, in the way our society and our culture emphasizes how we live, we get the impression, or we may get the idea, that we could pick and choose what we like and what we don't like, what we want to get involved with and what we want to leave behind. It's like going to a buffet. You know, like you choose what you like, what you want to eat, what you don't necessarily, what doesn't appeal to you, you leave it. You don't put it on your plate. You leave it in the serving trays. This use of the word "and" to me conveys the idea that when it comes to the church, when it comes to the life of the church, we cannot pick and choose the activities and the attitudes and the actions that we like, that appeal to us, and discard or say, nope, that's not for me. I mean, granted, we may have our reasons. There may be good reasons. But oftentimes I know for myself, I'm very particular. Something may not appeal to me, and yet when it comes to the life of the church, there's this interconnectedness. There's this idea that it's a whole. I can't slice it up and focus on only what appeals to me, to the neglect of the rest of the body. Maybe for some of us this morning, we need to broaden our perspective, our attitude, our acceptance of the church, rather than just focusing on a specific part, a part that appeals to us, but yet neglecting other areas of the church. The connection or the interconnectedness of the characteristics of the believers in the church. Well, let's go on. We'll talk about something else that we see. In addition to the connection between the characteristics of the church, we want to talk about the commonality of the believers. The commonality of the believers. Well, let's go back and let's look at verses 42 to 44. Let me just reread it. It says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common." In verse 42, it talks about how the believers devoted themselves, or you could say dedicated themselves, to the apostles' teaching. One, understanding or learning from the apostles who were teaching them about the scriptures or about Jesus, and the fellowship. I want to focus on this word, fellowship. It's a word that, if you've grown up in church, you've been around a church setting, you oftentimes hear. I'm sure you've come across it. I'm sure you've heard it. I'm sure you may have used this word, fellowship. But what exactly is fellowship? What does it mean? What does it entail? What is it, or what is it not? This word fellowship, the essence of the word, the root of the word, means to share something or to have a mutual basis with another person. It's a, you could say, the core connection between you and another person. What's interesting is that this word fellowship is also used in verse 44, but it's translated differently, and it's used or translated by saying that the believers were together and had all things in common. This phrase, in common, and the word fellowship in verse 42 are in essence the same word. They share the same root word. They're interchangeable. And in essence, that's what fellowship is. That would be a definition, perhaps the definition of what fellowship is. Having in common with another person. But what is the commonality? What do the people have in common? Well, in a church setting, in a Christian setting, hopefully it would be obvious, the commonality between believers. The fellowship, or the primary fellowship or commonality between Christians in a church, should hopefully be Christ. Christ should be the primary, main commonality, the central commonality between believers, people who profess to be Christians in the church. And yet, I think it's, if we were to be honest, or at least if I was to be honest with myself, in my 25 years of ministry in the church, there have been times where I have seen, whether it's in my own church that I've served at, or other churches that I've visited, or heard from, about from other pastors, where it seems as if that what connects people, what connects Christians in a group, in a fellowship, is not necessarily Christ. That is not necessarily the main commonality between people in a fellowship or in a church. Sometimes it's about shared interests, shared activities, shared age, life stage. Where you work, what kind of work you do. Your habits, what are your hobbies that you're involved? What kind of job do you have? These are all good things. I'm not saying that these aren't ways in which we connect with other people. They are. But oftentimes we allow these other factors to be the primary connection or the primary motive for desiring a relationship with another believer. When the true essence of the true commonality of Christians in a church or any body of Christ is that they are followers of Jesus. They are saved by the blood of Jesus. They believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. That is the essence. That is the true essence or basis of fellowship between believers in the church. Regardless of age, regardless of life stage, regardless of personal interests or hobbies, or even personality, it is the shared belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That is the primary connection between believers in the church. As you look at your church body, our church body, are you able to connect of other people, particularly other people who may not be in your immediate age group, life stage group, maybe people that share a particular hobby or interest of yours, but are you still able to connect? Are you still willing to connect? Are you still recognizing that the primary commonality with another believer is Christ? Now, I understand it's a two-way street. The other person, Lord willing, has to also recognize that their primary connection with you as a believer is in Christ. But it also starts with our recognition of other people. Regardless of age, regardless of life stage, regardless of interests or activities or hobbies, my primary connection with another believer is through Christ. And lastly, let's wrap up and talk about the last C. The last C we want to focus on is the commitment of the believers of the early church. The commitment of the believers of the early church. We talked about their connection, of their characteristics of the believers. We talked about the commonality or the fellowship of the believers. Now we want to look at the commitment of the believers of the early church. Let's go back to our passage. Starting in verse 42. Again, let me reread this passage. It says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved." We want to focus on the commitment of the believers of the early church. And when I say commitment, I'm talking specifically in verse 42, where it starts and says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers." They devoted themselves. To be devoted to someone or something means to be passionate, to willingly invest yourself, to connect with another person or thing. But this word devotion is also used, believe it or not, in the verse 46, where it's translated attending the temple together. In our English ESV, it translates the same word, devoted themselves, has attending. These two words, verse 42, devoted, verse 46, attending, share the same root word. The idea behind both of them is to be steadfast, to prevail in your holding on, your showing strength or perseverance in a fixed direction. They're devoting themselves, meaning that they're making an effort to put all their energy into the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. It's not something that they're doing haphazardly or every once in a while or when the mood strikes them or when they have free time and their schedule is relatively light, that they'll listen to the apostles' teaching or to engage in the fellowship. But they are devoting themselves. They are putting in energy or strength, endurance even, to prevail in attending the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. And then in verse 46, day by day, attending the temple together. Again, this word attending, same idea behind devoting. Being steadfast, being willing to prevail in your participation, consistently showing strength in spite of difficulties or hardship or obstacles that are in your way. It's not this idea of, sure, when I've got free time, when the mood strikes me, I'll be there, I'll participate. No, but it's this, you know what? This is the priority. This takes priority. This is number one in terms of what I want to do, and everything else in my life is secondary. The commitment of the believers. When we think about, when you think about your involvement, your participation in the church, whether it's our church presently, South Bay Chinese Gospel Church, or maybe your church that you've been involved with in the past, is there a devotion to the church, to the body of Christ? Is there an attendance, not just to show up once in a while, just not just to be there, but the idea of showing strength, perseverance in your participation, being fixed in your commitment to this church and local body? Does that epitomize your desire for our local church? Is this something that perhaps God is challenging you and convicting you and wanting you to be devoted? Now, when I say devoted, you know, I realize that this is a process. Okay, this is a process. We are, our devotion, our commitment flows from a recognition of God's grace and God's goodness in our lives. It is not because we feel guilty, we feel pressured, we feel obligated that we are part of a community, part of a church body, participating and attending a church. I'm not saying any of those, that is the reason for our involvement, but a desire, a recognition of gratitude for God's grace in our lives, specifically through the Lord Jesus. And as I recognize, as I appreciate, and as I realize God's generosity to me, I am willing to be part of the local body, to commit to the local church, to fellowship, to find my commonality with other believers in Christ, to be connected in my attitudes, my activities in the local body. Perhaps for some of us, God is speaking very clearly, very concisely, maybe perhaps even very convictingly, or perhaps very comfortingly, in our attitudes and our action with the local church. And I pray that as God convicts, as God comforts, that we do so, our response is one of gratitude and of praise to the Lord. Let me pray for us. Father, again, we thank you that you have called us not only to be saved by your Son, Jesus Christ, but to be part of the local church body, Lord. Father, I pray that our involvement, our participation, again, is not out of guilt, it's not out of obligation, but out of a recognition, Lord, that you call us to not only live for you, but to live in a community of other believers for you, Lord. Lord, I pray that, again, at the end of the day, Lord, that it's really you that receives the glory. Again, we thank you, pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, go ahead and have a blessed day. Hope to see you soon. God bless.